Then the preacher will go. All right. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. And even though no human father can measure up to that, Lord, we strive to learn from you and to lean on you. Lord, help us to be, to understand what it means to be a father and how to be better ones and how to, whether we are women or men, just to learn how to reflect the kind of love that you have for us. Thank you for this morning. For each person here, I pray that you will speak to us and that we will hear it and it will sink into our hearts and change the way we live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys have something about fathers.
Well, yes, and actually I need to preface this here first of all.
75% of our church. The rest of you just need to catch up. That's
game
all.
For reality TV.
Before Grant was born, I honestly told Beth this. I said, he's yours until at least age 5. I have no idea what to do. Just get him to age 5, and maybe I can help you out at that point from age 5. Because as a first-time father, I was thinking, I knew that I had no skills. No parent skills, no father skills. I had never done this before. I mean, what were we thinking in the first place? The whole idea of a baby, of a kid, seemed like a great idea. And then it's like, but oh, we're going to have one. I don't know what to do. You fix that. Because you're a woman, right? And you know. Because women know how to take care of little, you know, carpet monsters like that. And I really believed that. It's true, isn't it, huh? Yes. And so she was a little bit freaked out. She says, I don't know what, but I guess that's the way it is. That's what you get. I'm married to him, and the kid's on the way. So I'm on my own for 5 years. Well, it turns out that when Grant was born, something happened. And I decided, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn how to be a father. I was filled with love for him. Which rapidly faded. No, I was filled with... Sorry, he's back there. I was filled with love for him, and in fact, I was the first person to change his diaper, and I learned a little bit about boys. Right there, the first time I changed his diaper. It's the tent. You gotta use the tent. If you haven't had kids, talk to me. All right, boys especially. So I decided that I was gonna learn how to be a father. And I promised myself I wasn't going to make the same mistakes that my own father did, which I haven't. I've made a whole bunch of original and new mistakes. So that's kind of cool. So we're going to talk about Father's Day, and we're going to talk about how to be good fathers. And you're not going to learn from me from all my advice, although you can take that tent thing home with you if you're a new father. You don't know what that means? You do need to talk to me. How in the world can we be good fathers? The first thing I know about this is that we desperately need fathers. We desperately need fathers. Looking around this room and looking at our culture in its entirety, I realize that one of the biggest elements missing is a good father. We are wired to need a father. And unfortunately, most of our fathers, many of our fathers at least, fall short in some way, in some major way. And why is it that God would wire us and design us to need that kind of father figure around us? Why would he do that and then have fathers often be so broken? There are a lot of father wounds. There's a lot of damage that's done by either a lack of a father, an absentee father, or a father who might have been in some way abusive or neglectful or harsh. Are not present, not kind, angry. We learn and we emulate from our earthly fathers. And sometimes that's not such a good thing. But what characteristics can we learn from our Heavenly Father? Because if we're going to be good earthly fathers, we really do have to learn from and lean on our Heavenly Father. The first thing I think about when I was looking at this, is that it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, if you think about fear, I think that that word in Hebrew really means respect. Respecting the Lord. When I think about the ideal father and really the way we view God is that God is really kind of immovable. That God deserves our respect. It doesn't mean that God is unpredictable. He's ready to go off at any moment. He's ready to blow up and get angry and, you know, take you out in a bolt of lightning. And that's not the way we're supposed to be as fathers either. And respect is the kind of thing that you do not demand. You earn it. You earn respect. Respect happens by being consistent, by being more interested in the lives, being more helpful to the lives around you than your own, being more concerned about the well-being of the people under your care. God really does care about and know about what's best for you. That's what God's all about. That's the beginning of trust in God. That's what pleases God. It's a faith that says, God, I believe that you know what's best for me and that you're working for what's best in my life, even if it doesn't make sense right now. That's the beginning of faith. That's the beginning of wisdom in your life. So if there's something that you kind of disagree with, you go, wait a minute, I want to do it this way. But you look at God's word and you say, well, this is what God says to do. Respect. Faith comes from doing what God says instead of doing it your own way. That's the beginning of wisdom. And as human fathers, it means that you're willing, that you're strong, but you're not a bully. It means you're strong, but you're not mean or angry. It means you're, in fact, being mean or angry or a bully or having a temper is weakness. So I was a little confused about that when I was growing up. My dad would say, you know, if somebody's picking on you, you need to get in there and fight right back and, you know, get in a fight, take them down. Instead of that idea of saying, I don't need to fight. I'm better than that. See, I didn't really learn that. Strength means willing to take a hit. It means willing to take a hit for the family. It means to look out for them first. It means to put the needs, your own needs, aside for those of your wife, for your kids. And that, men, is a privilege. That's a stewardship. That's a responsibility. Because God made you and wired you with that kind of strength. You can do that. You can take that hit. You can put the needs of others first. He's given you that stewardship of providing and caring for those. God has given you a trust. I worked in youth ministry for about 9 or 10 years before I started this church. And we did a lot of retreats with middle schoolers and that kind of thing. And I'll tell you, overnighters with middle schoolers, you really, that's good stuff. You really learn a lot. And those of you who have done that kind of thing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember doing this one retreat out at Harbor Villa, out at the coast in Rockaway Beach, and we had one of our helpers there was the assistant pastor. His name was Harold Harms, and he was in his mid-60s, in pretty good shape, but, you know, 65, 66, 67, somewhere in that age. And the kids, when they're middle schoolers, they really, a lot of them haven't figured out boundaries. Okay? They haven't figured out physical boundaries in particular. So me as a man in my 30s, it's like, yeah, jump on me, fine, you know, beat me up and I'd throw you off, the boys and sometimes the girls. And that's the way it works. So, but Harold wandered in to the mix when we were having one of those sessions, and one of the 13-year-old boys jumps on his back. And here's a man who's about 140 pounds and in his mid to late 60s. And I watched his expression. It was telling. Because I could see his expression, but the rest of the group, Beth and I could see his expression, but the rest of the group couldn't. And I saw this pain of this wince, and Beth and I are wincing, like, oh, Eric, don't jump. Oh, he did it. And I could see the pain in Harold's face, like, oh. And he wanted to say something, like, you idiot, get off my back. But I watched it change to, hi, Derek. We were built, men, to take the hit. And don't be a wimp and lash out when things don't go your way. Love the people around you. Be the patient one. Gently instruct when it's the right time. You know, so I did take Derek aside a little later and said, you do know that you just jumped on the associate pastor's back and he's in his mid to late 60s. That maybe wasn't the best idea. Oh, okay. He's like 40 now, Derek is. So what are you going to do, fathers? Because it's not about you. And it's important in being that the strong one, like our Heavenly Father, to let people know where their boundaries are. Something I discovered with boys especially is that as a dad, they think that you are invincible. So they'll run into you, they'll jump on you, they'll headbutt you in very awkward places, and you cannot be hurt. They push off of you. They push off of you to define themselves and to know that the world is a safe place. Which brings me to the second thing that's true about God. God is present. God is with us. God is there. He's not a distant God. He's not the God of the deists who wound up the cosmic clock and left and said, deal with it. He's a God who's present and is interested in our lives. And that provides an amazing security. When your world is falling apart, you want to count on your dad to make it right. You want a dad who listens. You want a dad who listens to your interests. And as a father, I learned, it took me quite a few years. Okay, let's just say I'm still learning. That I don't force my interests on Grant. That the issue is, tried to tell him, let's go out and ride a bike. Let's go out. And he's just not that into it. He's more into computers. And so I have to learn what he's into. I listen to these things about computer games that make my head spin. But I want to know because that's the way he's wired. Proverbs 22:6 says, it's the next slide. So let's go back to that. That's kind of fun. We're talking about the dad who doesn't have a good strong that way. The 1950s, when beating your children was A-okay. I grew up in that era. It's not. Go on to the next slide.
There's your problem.
Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. So what does that mean? That means, look, Grant, you got to do things my way. If you don't do things my way, it's the highway. And if you don't get... No, it doesn't really mean that. It means that you see how God wired your child, how God designed that child. You pay attention to it and you encourage that design. Certainly, you set boundaries to protect, to prepare, and to instruct. It's an art, is what it is. It's an art of being involved and yet preparing them for the day when they will start their own family, when they will go off on their own. You train up a child in the way they should go, and that means finding out the way that God designed this kid, finding out how God uniquely designed this child, this trust that he's given to you, and set them free to do it while providing good, moral, spiritual boundaries in their life. See, children need boundaries. It makes it safe for them. It's good to say no. It's just you need to do it not because you're irritated or angry, but because you want to help them. Train up a child in the way they should go. Let's go back to that other verse in Lamentations. God's love is and commitment is unfailing. It is steadfast. This word here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The steadfast love, that word is one word, the steadfast love in Hebrew, and it's a word that occurs all over the Old Testament, and I'm going to pronounce it because I love to pronounce Hebrew words with aspirates. It is chesed. Anybody want to say that? Chesed. Chesed. It's kind of just like spelled cheesed, but it's not. Chesed means unfailing love. It's the model of God's love. It's not gonna give up. It's patient. It endures. Steadfast love. It's also known, there's a couple of songs that came out. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Remember that one, Kathy? I'm not gonna make you sing it. But if you would do, if you would do a little Chewbacca for us, that would be cool.
Yes, yes, do it. Come on.
Okay. I guess not. Maybe if you just go ask nice after this sermon, she'll help you out with a little Wookiee. Doesn't sound right, does it? Wow. You really sound like that. Wow. Cover your children's ears. What we're talking about here with steadfast love is that covenant love. When God makes a promise, God keeps that promise. God does not give up on us. Are you glad for that?
Amen.
You're glad that God doesn't give up on us? Because some of you, I would. I haven't yet, but you know, I'm thinking about it. No, but God does not give up on you no matter what. That's pretty cool. That's the love of a father. When you're messed up, when you run away, when you make terrible choices, when you screw up so bad you don't think there's any way back, God is like the prodigal son's father, isn't he? Remember that story? The prodigal son, he says, you know, I'm out of here. I'd actually kind of like the money that's coming to me right now so I can go out and I can party a little bit, because this is not happening here. This is like living with Owen Lars. Ain't happening. Luke's uncle, sort of. So he takes off, and things do not go well. Initially they do when he has a lot of money, you know, because you got a lot of friends and you got a lot of money, and he did. And it says he squandered it with prostitutes. I mean, that ain't good. Son, please, don't. Okay? Let's not do that. But you know what? He came to the end of himself. His money ran out. And there he is. He finds himself working with the pigs. Can you imagine a good Jewish boy working with the pigs and pig slop? And he wanted just some silage. He would have eaten some silage, man. Corn husks. And he kind of looks around and comes to himself and goes, this is not what I was hoping for. This is not a good place to be. I'm gonna go home to my dad. And that says something about the dad, doesn't it? That he thought, my dad will take me back, but boy, is there gonna be heck to pay when I get back. I'm gonna get a whooping. And you know, I don't know what he was thinking, but he has it all planned out in his mind what he's gonna say. And the funny thing is, as he's on the way, his dad's already looking for him. His dad is, you know, seems like every day he's going out to the hill and he's looking for his son. And he sees his son before he even gets anywhere close, and he runs up to him. And he puts, before he can even, son can even get his words out, he puts his arms around him. And he kisses him on the neck. He says, hey, I'm going to throw in a party. Because you came home. Now that's the kind of love of a father that you want to have. I asked Grant, because you know, I wanted a little help on my sermon preparation. I asked Grant, I said, what do you think the most important characteristics of a father are? I got nothing really. It was like pulling teeth. And he goes, the first thing he says is setting an example. I go, oh crap. I did say that. And then I pushed him a little further because I was not happy with that answer. And he said, it's love. It's the love of God. So I asked him to define that. And that's pretty much what he came out. He says, loving you even when you make mistakes, when you do foolish things. And that is the chesed, the steadfast love of the Father. It's not performance-based. When I was, I've told you this story before, when I was about... 10 years old, I decided that I was going to be a good Christian boy and a good spiritual kid, and so I decided that I would translate the book of Ephesians into language that I understood. Because that's what 10-year-old boys do. For fun. Not normal. Anyway, I did. I translated like the first three chapters, and then of course I took them to my dad, and I said, "What do you think of these things?" And what did I get? Guess what I got, Debbie? Criticism. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you messed up here. You messed up here. You messed up here. And you know how that made me feel? Well, I'll tell you what. I haven't bothered to translate Ephesians since then. I was completely demotivated. Now, for the most part, I had a pretty good dad, but that is not, that's performance-based. And that's what it made me feel like. You should, one place where you should know that you are known, that you're listened to, that you're loved unconditionally, and that is your Heavenly Father, but that's what we can be as earthly fathers too. They need to know that above all, you are good, and you care about that, and you're there for them. That song that we sang today, Father of Lights, You Delight in Your Children. I think I have that verse somewhere up here too, possibly. Yeah, that's it. That was it. Do not be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God the Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Consistency. Something that you can count on, but more than that, consistently good, consistently loving, consistently forgiving. Well, guess what? There's an opportunity for all of us to be a father figure, especially if you happen to be a father. But here in this church, and there's something that I've noticed, many of us have had fathers who fell pretty short of our needs, and it caused damage. And if there's something that I've observed, strongly in my time just counseling people and meeting with them and having coffee, it's that there are many of us, men and women, who've had fathers who messed us up in some way or another, or weren't there at all. And it has made life pretty difficult for a lot of us. And this world's a broken place. And fatherhood has been devalued, and it's been mocked. It's been misunderstood. And yeah, we can take it. But we need to step up. And fathers have gone after their own fulfillment, being selfish, losing their perspective on what our stewardship is. We've lost our calling, and it's a high calling. And a lot rests on it. But we have an opportunity, even right here, City's Edge, people around you, to fill that missing place in people's lives, to be consistent, to be steadfast in our love, to take the hit. The world desperately needs the steadfast love, commitment, patience, and inner strength of a father. We need God the Father. I was reading this article in a Christian leadership blog, and it was talking about, can we call God a she? Now, I'll be straight up with you. There are some metaphors in Scripture where God takes on female characteristics. Even Jesus says, I would gather Israel like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And God uses different metaphors that use the feminine idea of care in particular. But I don't think we could call God a she or her or a mother, because Jesus tells us to call him our Father. Jesus says, when you pray, Father in heaven. And Jesus consistently calls God our Father. Now, why does he do that? Is it because God is a man? No. In fact, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created man and woman. And it says something interesting. I told Jim and Yetta this. He says, I think I told you guys this. I'll tell you later. he says, man and woman, he created them. In his image, he created them. Guess what? You need both to reflect the image of God. Okay? So, That's important. God is not a bearded old man. Although the older I get and more bearded I get. Anyway, the more I like that idea. But we can't call God sheep because he asks to be called Father. And the reason he asks to be called Father is because that is the ideal characteristic of one who is steadfast, who does not move, who does not change, who's interested in our good, who can take the hit and keeps coming back and loves us and forgives us no matter what. And that's what we want to be too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we completely depend upon you to find our strength, to love like you love, to be steadfast and committed like you are, to take the hit, to be strong, to be interested in the lives of those around us and invested in the lives of those around us instead of so concerned about our own selfish needs and concerns and worries. God, help us to be like fathers to those who are fatherless, to those who have need, or those who've had difficult relationships with their father. Help us to be that and fill that with your power by leaning on you and learning from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Yeah.